lights all over town, amazing smells of wonderfully spiced food and drink. They're wafting through to me right here. I hope you're all feeling jealous. I can begin to eat it before you can. The uplifting sounds of traditional carols and of all kinds of joyful music to celebrate Christmas. Those relaxing rituals that the whole nation engages in as we get ready to enjoy special time with those we love and also with our families. The excitement of little curious minds waiting for presents, just eager to run under the tree and unwrap whatever they find there with their impatient little fingers. And also the excitement of young children as they wait patiently for their turn to get under the tree and start unwrapping things. Now, I'd like to invite you to think with me just for a moment. Why do you suppose that all of this gets called the season of good will? Just imagine if the month of, let's say, February got called the season of good gravity. Not as in seriousness, but as in things falling down. We'd complain, wouldn't we? We'd say that, but what's special about February? It's December now, and gravity's working fine. Watch. Things are still falling. We couldn't have a season of good gravity. Gravity is never broken. It's always good. So why do we have something that we call a season of good will? Isn't it because we don't have goodwill all the year round? Isn't it because we all actually rather desperately want to live in a kinder world than the one we live in? A world full of actual goodwill. And so I think what's going on at this time of year is that we try to remind each other of what we think we'd like the world to be like. And so this season of goodwill has become a sort of dream of a repaired world where people get on with each other better than we do. Christmas, we use it to remind us that the life we want isn't the life we've got right now. The world shouldn't be the way that it is. It should be like the world that we all dream about together at Christmas. Now, why might that be? I wonder if you noticed in our readings that the explanation is right there of why the world isn't the way we wish it would be. It all boils down to this, that God made us to be in a good relationship with Him. He gives us our life, the best, fullest possible kind of life. And so being in a right relationship with Him means that He tells us how to live that life to the fullest, how to be in the best possible kinds of relationships with each other, the kind of relationships that promote love and life and all kinds of happiness. And what has happened, our first reading tells us, is that we have each decided that we know better. The whole world and each one of us have decided to turn away from our relationship with that great God, the good, life-giving God. And we followed what we think is our own best judgment instead of God's good way of living with others. We abandon the light of what God says, and we've invented our own lights. And the difficulty with that is that our own lights are rather dim. They're broken. They're rather like the light in this room right now. A better word for our own lights by which we live is this: darkness. We can't have good, loving relationships with each other once we've turned away from God, because He is the one who gives us the wisdom to be in those good relationships with one another, to really look out for what is best for everyone around us. So we might think that we know better than God. I think our whole culture has decided that we've rather outgrown God, that we've matured, we know better than to think God should help us, should he exist. And what that shows, actually, is not that we've grown up. It shows that we lack all good sense. We've become like a toddler, throwing a tantrum and running away from his parents. Now, if you've spent any time at all around little children, your own or anybody else's, you know that a toddler is at his most confident that he or she really knows best at the very point when they're about to hurt themselves and everybody around them. They're sort of fully ready for student life in that sense. And that's why the Bible tells us the world is the way it is. That's why we kid ourselves with talk about a season of goodwill. Because the problem actually isn't out there in the world somewhere. The problem is in here. I'm the problem. Each of us and all of us are the problem. And we can't fix it. And you know what? We all know that. Have you bought your 2017 calendar already, or have you bought one to go in somebody's otherwise empty stocking? I bet you, if you turn to December 25th, 2017 in it, it won't be blank. It'll say Christmas Day on it. You see, the calendar makers know that 12 months from now, we will again want another season of goodwill. Because they know what we know, that 2017 won't have been a year full of goodwill. Because the world will have been avoiding the light that comes from God. And we'll have been groping around in our own light, in the darkness we've made. And so, for example, there will be wars in 2017. Now, all of that wishful thinking about goodwill, that is not, you'll be pleased to know, what we're doing here tonight. That is not why Christians celebrate Christmas. We're not wishing for a dream to come true. We're remembering, we're celebrating something that has already happened, which changes everything. I wonder if you noticed in our third reading how it is that one day all wars will come to an end. Did you notice it there as Angela read it? The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And then we're told that every boot of every warrior will be stripped off. There'll be no more war. How will that happen? The reading goes on to say, because for to us a child is born, Jesus is born. And of him we're told that of the increase, of the growth, of his government, and of peace, there will be no end. God is the one who gave us right relationships to be in the first place. He is the one who will put an end to all war by sending his son Jesus. That was the promise of the Old Testament. And Jesus is that light. He is the light that blows away the darkness that we have made for ourselves. Jesus comes and he turns on the floodlights to bring us back into that loving relationship. That relationship with God that causes all other right relationships to flow and to be wise. And Jesus wasn't just promised, he did come. That's what our final reading tells us. In him, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men, of all people. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. Do you notice that Jesus is winning? That he's going to win. See, we're told the light doesn't try to shine in the darkness, it shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not beaten it, overcome it, mastered it. Jesus has to win because God will not let us live in darkness forever. But also there is no other light that he is going to send. So Jesus is the one who must win. We're told in that reading that the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. There are no other lights. I'm afraid to tell you, they're just shades of darkness. And God will not let darkness remain. He is determined, and he will make the world full of light to every last corner. People everywhere will be in right, life-affirming, loving, caring relationships with each other, with everyone around them, because people everywhere will be in right relationships with God, because Jesus has come and forgiven them the fact that they've turned away from him. Now, those who refuse, those who say, thank you, not interested, I want to walk in my own light, well, he will remove them. He won't have anything other than light in his perfect world. He will punish us for the way that we've hurt each other and for turning away from him. He's not going to let evil stand. But those who want the light, those who choose Jesus, will receive the light. We will be forgiven for turning away from God and for everything that we've done to each other. That's how the reading ends. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become, get this, children of God. So how do I receive the light? Well, I receive the light by believing in Jesus, by accepting that he is the light sent from God to rescue me from the darkness that I've made, to save me from the punishment that I've earned for myself, to bring me into a loving, life-giving relationship with God and with everyone else. And so one day, Christians know, there will be no more season of goodwill, because what Christians remember at Christmas will have won. Jesus will have won. The world will be flooded with light. All evil will be removed and dealt with fairly. So let me ask you, where do you want to be on that day? Because you see, the very best Christmas present imaginable is right there for you to unwrap if you choose to believe in Jesus and accept the light that he gives. Let me encourage you to ponder this Christmas. What will you do? Will you accept, unwrap, grab hold of the gift of Jesus and the light that he gives? I'm going to end now with a traditional Christmas prayer. And if you're keen to grab hold of that light, you might want to make that prayer your own as I pray now. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, do this so that in the final day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to everlasting life. We ask this through him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.